You can be turning to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Good morning. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless this day. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. So glad to be here and thankful that you've brought us here and thankful that you've given us a desire to be here. Oh, that we might set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. All our affection, all our desires, Lord, is before Thee, all our groanings, that it is the one thing needful and one thing that Your people desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to hold the beauty of the Lord, inquire, ask, commune with Thee from our hearts, to hear from Thee, like this woman did with Solomon. So we ask that You would speak to us, that You would commune with us and bless us this day. Speak, Lord. We're here to hear what our God has to say to us. And may it be so with every person in this room. Lord, it's nothing too hard for Thee. So we ask that You be pleased for Your glory and honor and our salvation, call us into Thy kingdom. Speak, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins, and we give thanks for everything in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. We've studied this often, and yet I hope it will still be gospel news, good news to you and to me. I often envy those who hear these stories for the first time. I don't know if anyone in here has not heard this before, but I envy those who hear these stories for the first time. But I want to hear it as if it were the first time, don't you? Matthew 12, verse 42, our Lord speaks of this Queen of Sheba. In verse 42, He says, "The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now go to 1 Kings 10 with me. Now, this woman came, we think, around 800 or 1,000 miles to hear this man, Solomon. Our Lord said, she will rise up in the judgment. I believe the Lord saved this woman. I believe she's one of His elect. Certainly, Solomon didn't speak of himself. It says that he spoke concerning the name of the Lord. Solomon is the one who wrote the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. So, and all of that speaks of Christ. So she heard about the Redeemer from Solomon's mouth. But what does this say about those who go to great lengths to hear mere men and won't come, will not come to hear God's word? And people do. They travel, go to great lengths to sit and hear these, you know, musicians and stars and celebrities and all that, that are not worth crossing the street for. But our Lord is worth going to great lengths to hear, isn't it? Solomon, his name means peaceable. The Lord said, it said of Solomon when he was born, that the Lord loved him. So he was loved of God, and his name meant peace. What a picture he is of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the wisest man to ever live. Well, he got his wisdom from Christ. He spoke of Christ. And so Christ is the greater than Solomon. Look at it, verse 1. Here's the story. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. This queen heard, and she came to hear. Now, this was a woman, and which made it all that more difficult for her to travel. She apparently came on her own. When she's a queen, that means her husband is a king, right? You know, in olden days, and I spoke with one of the brethren about this, I asked him, can you think of any queen in the Bible that actually reigned over any country? And neither one of us could really think of one. Because in olden days, queens didn't really reign. Kings did. The queen was beside the man. But men reigned and ruled as king. It only was corrupted in modern days when England and all of that, Scotland, Queen Mary and so forth. That's not scripture. And what a picture this is, what a type this is. This woman is going to represent us. Sheba. The scripture says we are kings and priests, but we don't reign over anything, do we? No. We're, as it were, his queen. He's our husband. He's the king of kings. Says we're going to reign with him. Well, what are we going to reign over? It just simply means that he's our king and we're his family, sons of God. So we're royalty. But he's the one reigning, right? So this queen came. Now she's a noble person. And scripture says not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It was a queen of England. I forget which one it was. It doesn't matter. But she said one time to, may have spoken to one of those, there have been many men we know that were chaplains to kings and queens, men we know. Well, good preacher. But she said to her chaplain, she said, I thank God for the letter M. And he said, what do you mean? She said, it doesn't say not any noble, but not many noble. So God, and you know, the scriptures tells us to pray for kings and rulers and so forth. For God will have all men be saved, meaning that he saves all kinds, from kings to paupers, from presidents to peasants. He will. He does. Nebuchadnezzar, we believe. We believe the Lord saved that man. Amazingly. Amazing grace. So this woman was a queen, and she came. Now, she's a queen of Sheba, which is a pagan foreign country. She's a foreigner. She's a stranger to the covenant, to the things of Israel. But the Lord brought her. She's a Gentile. But the Lord chose her, the Lord called her, the Lord brought her to hear the truth, the covenant of grace, as have we. We've been brought, we've been called, we've been chosen. Where was her husband? Why didn't he come? You know, the Lord saves whom he will, doesn't he? Maybe he wasn't interested in Solomon. Apparently. Maybe he didn't need Solomon's wisdom. He thought he had enough. The Lord chose her, didn't he? You reckon she went home and told him about Solomon? We're thankful that the Lord has called us. We're amazed at his mercy and grace in choosing and calling us and bringing us to hear Christ, to hear his voice. But we still pray and ask him to reveal himself to those we love and have a burden for them. All right, verse 1 says she heard. She heard. Faith cometh by hearing it, hearing by the word. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Now, this is all of God's people. They're going to hear from him. They're chosen. And they're called by the gospel. And they're going to hear. Now listen to Isaiah 43. This is one of my favorite passages. He said, I'll say to the north. God says, I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. I don't know where you came from. Well, some of you did. But this woman from New York, that's a foreign country, California, wherever. The Lord brings his people from afar, doesn't it? From the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him or her for my glory. I have formed him, yea, a new creature. I have made him. Bring them, the blind people that have eyes, the deaf that have ears. Let them come. Let them hear. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, that I am. So she came. She heard, and she heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. So we come. We hear of our Lord by the preaching of the gospel, and we come to know him. All right, but she came, it says in verse 1, to prove him with hard question. To prove him with hard question. You know, most people come for the wrong reasons when they first come, don't they? The Lord brings them. The lot is cast in the lap. People say things like this. We're looking for a church. I've heard that so many times. We're looking for a church. Well, how did they end up here? The lot is cast into the lap. The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. We may think we're doing what we will, but we're doing his will. And so she came to prove him. And people often come for the wrong reasons. And when they come to hear the truth, they may not like it. So they think, I'm going to prove him. This is what our sister Robin did when she first came. I want to prove him wrong. Didn't he? So she went home like the noble Bereans, and I'm glad she did, and studied her scriptures. I want to prove. She started studying. You know what she found? That God is true. Every man's a liar. Huh? Prove him. As a young rebel teenager, I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew more than my father did. What a young fool. But the Lord, I'm sure glad he brought me to hear. Hard questions. People think they have hard questions for the Lord. Something that he can't answer. When this was over, Solomon was telling her. Look at verse 3. Solomon told her all her questions, meaning, you're asking the wrong questions. You're asking foolish questions. Did you hear the radio message this morning? They all thought, we can stump him. And he just asked one question, and none of them could answer. Such is the wisdom of our Lord. But she came to prove him. She came, verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stone. She came bringing things to Solomon. She thought, he might need this. I'm going to give Solomon. I'm going to do something for him. Oh, my. And, you know, people come to church, so to speak, and false preachers have told them so long that church can't be church without you. God can't do anything without you. And if the Lord is pleased to reveal himself to you, you find out that you don't have anything that he needs. In fact, everything you have, he gave it to you. All right. And then when you go home, you're going to go home with more than you came. But you're not the giver. He is. You're a recipient. You're a receiver. You're a taker. He's the giver. You find out by the grace of God, I am what I am, have what I am, know what I know, if the Lord is pleased. like this woman, to show you himself and his riches. Maybe she wanted to bargain with him. Well, I'll pay him for this, for his wisdom. You know, people try to make bargains with God. Mm-mm. Salvation is by pure grace and mercy. So she came, bearing all these gifts and all that. And you know, our Lord said in Psalm 50, he said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. And this is how you know these false preachers. They tell people everywhere that God needs your this, God needs that. That's not in the Bible anywhere. It doesn't say anywhere God needs anything. It doesn't say God wants. To want is to be without. To want is to desire something you don't have. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Don't ever say that. God wants me. God wants you. Mm-mm. God wills. God does. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. But, you know, God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. And he said in Haggai 2, he said, all the silver and the gold is mine. Now, in the article, in the bulletin, we don't give God anything. We return a portion of what he gave us, right? He loaned it to us. We don't own it. We don't earn it. He gave it, and he loaned it. So he tells us, you loan it without interest, without usury. That's the way our Lord gives. So she came, and it says in verse 2, I like this, she communed it with him of all that was in her heart. After she'd been there and seen and heard, she began to commune with him. She opened up. She began to talk to him. She began to ask him all that was in her heart. She poured out her heart to him. When she saw something of his glory and she heard his voice, apparently Solomon spake like no man spake. He had wisdom like no other. He had glory. He had power like no other. You know why Solomon existed in history? As a type of Jesus Christ. He's an enigma. Solomon's an enigma. Why did the Lord allow him to have, 300 wives and 700 concubines? Why? That's wrong. God never condoned or sanctioned polygamy. No. One wife, right? Adam had one woman. A man and a wife, these two become one. But God allowed it, and God allowed Solomon to have more than any other. Why is that? Because our Lord has multiple wives. How can this one man please so many women? How could all these women feel so loved by this one man? Well, because he represents Christ. That's why. It's the only reason for that. The only reason. Well, she communed with him when she heard his voice, when she began to trust him and his wisdom and see his wisdom and his honor. You know, Scripture says that God gave Solomon largeness of heart, meaning he had a big heart. He would commune with, he would talk to, he would speak to anyone that came to him. I love the thought of this, that anyone... doesn't matter who it was, no matter how poor they were, they could be a nothing and a nobody from nowhere. If they asked for to speak to the king, he'd say, bring him in. He had a large heart. He loved many. And so she found that out, and she opened up her heart to him. Oh, may we open up our heart. Pour out your heart unto him, people, our God. Is a refuge and strength. You know, out of the heart are the issues of life. We must come with the heart. This is what he says. Now, he says this to his people. My son, give me thine heart. He's not saying that to unregenerate, unsaved people. Give Jesus your heart. He's not speaking to unbelievers. No. He has to give you a new heart. You know, somebody said, what's he want with that old heart? Don't give him that old heart. It's deceitful above all things. But he gives us a new heart, and it's that heart that she speaks to, that she communes with, and tells us, set thine heart, thine affection on things above. My son, set thine heart on me. Give me thine heart. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Set your heart on things above, my son. Don't let your heart go after anyone or anything else but me. That's what the Lord is saying. Out of the heart are the issues of life. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The heart is the affection. The heart is the desire. The heart is the groaning. The groan is inner man. That's the real you, the heart. The heart. We need to pour out our hearts to the Lord. We need Him to speak to our hearts. We need Him to break our hearts. We need Him to heal our heart. We need Him to speak to our hearts. And that's what the Lord told the preacher in Isaiah. Comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably. And the margin says, to the heart. And this is what I pray all the time. Lord, would you speak to my heart with this word. Bless my heart that I in turn may speak to the hearts of the people, not the heads. We don't profit if we go out of here with just some knowledge. But what we need to do, what we need is to know Him. And that means much more than about Him. That means to come to understand Him, to trust Him, to look to Him like the Queen of Sheba did. She probably, like so many other women, fell in love with Solomon. And she had asked him to marry her too. Ask him. You're married. I sure will. There's room for one more. So she came to prove him with hard questions. That's what people think they can do. And Solomon told her. She heard. She came to ask, and she ended up being told. She came to prove. She ended up being told. She came to give. She ended up receiving. Much more than she thought. She came with her little pittance. She thought she was bringing a great gifts to him. She received of Solomon double. Double. I love the story of Joseph's brethren, you remember? Sacks, they started out with sacks. When it was all over, they were going home with wagon loads. Wagon loads. And so do we, don't we? Of His fullness have all we receive. Grace for grace. How much grace does the Lord have? Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Pearls that the poorest may wear. All right, look at verse 1. Now let's talk about the king. Enough about the queen. She heard of the fame of Solomon. Oh, my Lord. My Lord is famous, isn't he? I don't like the word so much, but it's in the scriptures, you know that? Famous. Fame means known by all. Though not loved by all, known by all. Paul said, have they not all heard? Yea, verily, the sound has gone throughout the earth. The name of the Lord is on everyone's lips, whether it be in cursing or praising. All men without excuse. Those that say they don't believe in Him use His name. Like our Lord said to Herod, when Herod said, art thou the Christ? He said, you said it. That's all he said. Now, I remind you, people don't use fictitious names to curse with. Why is that? He's forcing people to acknowledge God. Isn't that something? There are no atheists. They say they are. And I've read so many stories of people dying in unbelief. It's horrible. Frightening. The king, oh my, the name of the Lord. Our Lord said, I am come in my Father's name. Come in my Father's name. In verse 5, it says, the Queen of Sheba, verse 4, the Queen of Sheba, she heard and she came and she saw. What she saw was Solomon's wisdom. She saw his wisdom. You know, wisdom is not just words. It doesn't say she heard his wisdom. She did. But she saw his wisdom. Wisdom, let a wise man show out of meekness his works. When our Lord one time said, if you don't believe me, what I say, believe my works. And even Nicodemus was forced to say, you have to be from God, because no man can do what you do except God be with him. So she saw his wisdom. She heard his wisdom, yeah, but she saw his wisdom. We hear of it, and then when we see what the Lord does, we experience it. We enter into it. We see what the Lord has done. Then we really do experience his wisdom. Oh my, his works of creation, his works of salvation, oh, his works of providence. Don't we see the wisdom of our God in all things that have transpired thus far and in our life? Don't we see something of the purpose of God in our own lives and everything he has done? And aren't we amazed by what he has done? So she saw his wisdom. And it says in verse 4, in the house that he had built. Now Solomon built his own private house, personal house. He spent longer on that than the temple. That temple is going to be torn down. But I can't help but think that this is representative of two houses, you know, the temporal temple. But God's true house, his own personal house where he dwells with his people, that's the new heaven, a new earth, his kingdom, when we're all going to be a part of that. It'll never be destroyed. And he spent more time on that house, Solomon, his personal house, than the temple. My, I can't wait to be in that house, dwell in the house of the Lord, the eternal house made in the heaven, made without hands. But she saw the house that he had built, and what a glorious place it was, the temple. And you had to be on the inside. Apparently Solomon let her in on the inside. She asked him, can I see your house? Sure you can. Come on in. He took her a tour. One time the disciples, they were impressed with that temple. It's going to be torn down real soon, especially after they said, isn't this wonderful? Our Lord said, not one stone going to be left standing on another. There's going to be a stone left. One stone left. What was it? The chief cornerstone. And but they were impressed, and they wanted to show the Lord the temple. later on, he showed them his temple, didn't he? Himself. He said, there's some standing here that will not see death, taste death until they see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a person. A person. His dominion. He's the king. All right. It says in verse 5, she saw the meat of his table, his provisions, all that he provided. Turn back quickly to chapter 4. And you've seen this, but maybe someone hasn't. She saw the meat of his table. 1 Kings 4, look at it. Now, as said, Solomon was had largeness of heart. A gracious man, a loving man, a merciful man, a generous man. In verse 22, 1 Kings 4, Solomon's provision, the bread or the meat of his table for one day was 30 measures of fine flour. How many loaves of bread could you make with that? Thousands. Why would you need to make thousands of loaves of bread every day? Because so many people wanted it and needed it and desired and hungered for it. Whoever was hungry, he'd say, come. And oh, blessed are they that are hungry. They'll be fed. They'll be filled, the scripture said. What is the bread? We don't live by bread alone. But what a picture this is of how our Lord provides and feeds every single person and animal on earth. You remember a whale eats how many tons of food a day? A ton of food. A ton of fish a day. One whale. Every day. Well, who feeds him? Well, sure, it's going to run out. It hadn't yet. The Lord said it won't. This is our God. He's amazing, isn't it? His provision for one day, 30 measures of fine flour, 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen of the pasture, 100 sheep, beside the deer and the roebucks and the fallow deer and the fatted fowl, pheasants, fatted pheasants and fowl, for his fine friends. Anything. What do you want? What do you want? It's all there. Nothing you could think of that you wanted, any desire. Oh, hasn't the Lord given us above all we could even ask or think? We not only have all that we need, we have more than we could want. No, we shall not even want. The Lord is your shepherd. Right, John? Not want for anything. And brethren, I couldn't help but think of what all we have tasted and seen of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture, of which every single thing mentioned here represents Him. The Word of God is spoken of and likened to meat, milk, honey, on and on it goes. Salt, bread. Can you just taste Him? Oh, my. Nobody who came hungry went away hungry. You think there's enough? Somebody came in. King Solomon, you think there's enough for me? Come look. Now eat. Open your mouth, Scripture said. Wide, I'll fill it. Oh, my. Those who hunger and thirst for Him will go away full of His fullness. We receive. Now look at His reign. His reign. She saw His reign. And in 1 Kings 4, look at this. Verse 21. It says that Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river and the land of the Philistine unto the border of Egypt. All kings. And verse 24. He had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipsah even to Azza, over all the kings on this side of the river. He had peace all on all sides around about it. But his dominion was everywhere, over other kings. He was a king and he reigned over other kings. There's another, I forget where it is, didn't write it down, which says how many kings came to Solomon. The wise men came from all the ends of the earth to hear. They were kings, but they came to hear the King of Kings. And that's our Lord, the King. And it says that in the Revelations, that kings will bring their glory. What kings will bring their glory, their crowns and all, in glory? When they come to see Christ, behold His glory. Well, that's where the analogy is, the allegory is, that we're going to cast our crowns down. David will take that crown off of his head and throw it at the feet of the King of Kings. Solomon. Solomon's going to say, I didn't know anything. I didn't have anything to see what he said. Like this queen. And he reigned. Now look at chapter 10. Chapter 10. She saw his power, his protection. It said back in chapter 4 that there was peace all the days of. He had peace on all sides round about him. And I love this. Don't you, Ron? It says that every man dwelt safely under his vine and under his fig tree. Whose vine? Solomon's vine and his fig tree. It doesn't necessarily mean every man had a vine and a fig tree. But that means whoever wanted to come sit under his would be safely, would dwell safely. Isn't that what our Lord said? I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And come, we would dwell safely. We dwell in him, every man. And he reigned, he ruled, his power, his protection. Everyone that came to Solomon lived in peace and safety. Every scripture, every epistle begins this way. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be unto thee. Isn't that what our Lord said after he arose from the grave? The first thing. He said this three times. Every time he came again to them, he said, peace be unto thee. Meaning, he made peace for us. Do you fear God's wrath? Do you fear God's judgment because of your sin? Peace be unto thee. Christ made peace. He's angry with the wicked every day. But he made peace. Do you believe it? Do you trust him? Do you? Do you look to Christ and him crucified? Is he your Lamb? Really? Really? Peace be unto thee. God loves, smile. God loves you. If you love his son, look to his son. Yes, he does. His power, his protection, his servants. Look at verse. I'm going to take all the time I want. Verse 5 says, she beheld the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants. Don't you know? Why was his servant sitting? I thought servants were supposed to be, you know, walking around serving everybody. Well, could be Solomon was serving them. Do you think that? No. Surely not. The king got up and served them. That's exactly what our Lord did. Got up from his table, took off his robe, and put on a towel and washed their feet. And someday, amazingly, marvelously, he said he's going to serve us. Like Boaz walked around a table and, Ruth, you got enough cornbread? So they were sitting and they sat there in peace. They sat there in amazement as they were hearing their king. They sat there reverently, didn't it? Respectfully, like I see you sit here now. This is the way worship is supposed to be. With reverence, with respect unto our King. Silence. We're not all speaking here. We come to sit in silence and hear Him speak. Right? So they've sat. What have they got to say? They came, they want to hear Him. And the attendants of His ministers and His cupbearers. His cupbearers. You know the one that lived, the butler and the baker, remember that story? What's that? You know, it's a picture of the butler and the baker. The baker died. The baker baked up all sorts of things for the king. He doesn't need what you make for him. But the butler merely brought the king's cup, the wine. He was the cup bearer of the king. He brought to the king the wine and the cup. And that's a picture of all of God's people. We want to live. If that's what we bring to our God, faith in Christ and His blood, we'll live. We'll live. I'm a cupbearer. I'm here to bear witness of the cup which Christ bore, the cup of His wrath, the cup of His blood He shed for the remission of our sins. Oh my! Their apparel. She saw their apparel. Everybody was wearing the same thing. Everybody was wearing these glorious, and this is Psalm 45, Psalm of the King, which David or Solomon 1 wrote, but they weren't speaking of themselves. But it says in Psalm 45, it says, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework, which is a picture. of all the robe of righteousness which our Lord Himself made with His own hand. So she beheld everyone was robed in this same apparel. She thought, now, I don't know what she was wearing when she came. She may have thought she looked pretty good. She may have put on her best garment. Huh? But when she saw what Solomon provided for all of his servants and his cupbearers and his ministers, she thought, I'm dressed in rags. She said, I'm ashamed of myself. She asked him, she said, could I have one of those robes? I want to look like that. And so he did. I think she went home with one of these robes, with this apparel. And his ascent, oh, don't you like that? She saw him ascend the throne. And the throne of Solomon. Oh, my, read it sometime. Oh, it was the picture of his throne, which is all a picture of Christ. She beheld his ascent. That is, how he went up. He went up. He rose up to sit on his throne. And that's what Hebrews 1 says, doesn't it? When he had by himself purged our sin, he went back. He sat down. He ascended, came low. Who is it that descended? Who is it that ascended? It was he that descended. But he ascended after he did that great and glorious work on Calvary's tree. God lifted him up on the cross for us to look to like the serpent on a pole. But God, after he did that, God lifted him much higher than it. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death. But we see him now. He ascended. He arose. And he sat down, the scripture says, on the right hand of the majesty on high. And Revelation says we're going to see on the throne a lamb as it had been slain. So see, when she heard and when she saw and when she tasted, it says in verse 5, there's no more spirit. No more spirit. She was emptied of self. But boy, she's full of Him. She may have thought something of herself when she came. Now she thinks nothing of herself. It's all about Him. His glory. Now here's her testimony. Love this. Her testimony. Let's just read these verses. She said to the king, it was true. It was a true report. It's all true. Everything I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom, what you've done, what you've said, who you are, it's all true. Howbeit, I believe not. I didn't believe until I came and mine eyes had seen. Isn't that what Job said? He said, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes have seen thee. Wherefore? No more spirit in you. He said, I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. But he went from ashes, John, in the end. Have you heard the end of Job? Twice. Double what he started with. He's not sitting in ashes anymore. He's robed and in glory. And that's God's people. All who see nothing in themselves, but everything in Christ. They hear His voice. They see His glory. And that's what Christ said. I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And she said, mine eyes have seen the King. And behold, she said, the half was not told me. Have you learned anything this morning? Have you seen anything you hadn't seen before? Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. I haven't told the half of it. You're talking about His fullness, the ocean of His fullness. It's like kind of like that man who first saw the man who saw the Pacific Ocean for the first time. He came up to, you know, you can only see so much, and he came up to the Pacific Ocean for the first time. He said, not as big as I thought it was. You can't see it. You can see a little bit of the rest of it, two-thirds of the world. You can't see it, but you will. And a half has not been told me. And she said, thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Now, you know, we hear, we believe his wisdom, his providence, his purpose and all that. And we say we believe it, yet we murmur, we complain, don't we? We think, why, Lord, why? When we see, when we're there, no more why. We're going to see why. And we're going to see. He says we'll know as we've been known. It's going to all completely dawn on us. It's all true. How could I have doubted anything? Silence for 30 minutes. Oh, only the Lord could put to silence men. And she said, verse 8, don't you love this? Happy are thy men. Oh, blessed, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for you. Happy are these thy servants. Oh, to be just a servant in his kingdom. To be called his servant. Happy are those who stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Happy, happy, happy. People want to be happy. Are you happy? Are you blessed? The word means blessed. Are you blessed? What is the greatest blessing to you? Seriously. Really now. Let me ask you, when you count your blessings, when you name them one by one, what's first? My dear sister back there, smiling, nodding her head, she said, Christ. He is risen. Yes, he is. Oh, my. So she said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he made you king. Our Lord reigns over a kingdom of misfits, of peasants and paupers and no good rebels that he changed into servants. Why would he come down? Why would he come down from reigning and ruling over angels to come to this place? He sure didn't need us, did he? We needed him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He must have loved us if you see that he is indeed your king. And oh, the judgment and the justice that he has brought us, done us, for us. And she gave the king, she gave him all of this that she brought, you know, and gave it to Solomon, and so do we. When we hear, we give. But again, we're just bringing back what he loaned us, and it's nothing. But look at this, and it starts to tell about what Solomon got in every day. The navy, there was a navy full of ships that brought him gold. Ships full of gold. And we, you know, our Lord said, cast your bread on the water. You'll see it again after midnight. Well, he gave you the bread. So he says, cast it out there. Sow to the flesh, you reap flesh. Sow to the spirit, you reap spirit. Double. He said, give, it shall be given to you. We don't give for this reason. Well, we give willingly and lovingly because he's been so gracious to us. But he says, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together. Have you ever filled up a bag full of leaves, you know? What do? You put your foot in it and press it down. Shake it. You want it all to fill up all the holes in the bag, and then you stump it down again. There's more room. You put more in. And our Lord said, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. John, our cups run over us. We're recipients, receivers. It just doesn't fit. Our glass is never half full or half empty. It's full. Running over. Running water, fresh, continual. His grace, every day, bread. And it says, verse 12, the king made almond tree pillars for the house of the Lord. We're pillars in the house of the Lord. And it says, verse 13, and King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. All her desire. She communed with him from her heart. She opened up her heart, poured out her heart to him, and he gave her everything her heart desired. Now remember, she came with all this stuff to bring something to Solomon. And she ended up hearing him and seeing him and receiving from him. And now she's taken up with him. And this is the way it is. If you ever hear Christ, if you ever see his glory, if he ever speaks to you, if you ever call on the name of the Lord, you're going to hear the name of the Lord. He's going to make all his goodness pass before you. And he's going to give unto you of his fullness. And if you ever see and hear Christ, you're going to go away taken up with, in love with, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to see any glory in anyone or anything. She went home with the king's royal bounty. Far exceeded her little pittance. And so she went home to her own country, she and her servant. Reckon what do you reckon she was talking about on the Huh? What do you think she talked about, or rather, who do you think she talked about from then on? When she got home, what'd she tell her husband? Like that woman at the well. Come, you, honey, you've got to see this man. You've got to hear his voice. You've got to see his house. I tell you what, let's just pack up and move and go sit with his servants. No more. I'm tired of being a queen. I'd rather be one of his servants. Wouldn't you? Rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Okay.